All right, so we've reflected a little bit, I hope, during the break, whatever, about this first love, right? And I hope the Lord has shown you and shown you where you are at, but not only where you are at, where we are at as the body of Christ, locally, and then as the body of Christ as a whole. Not just among the assemblies, but I believe a lot of us in assemblies, we do have an effect. Our teachings, our books, our evangelism does have an effect on other, whether they're denominations or others. And not only that, but by the people that we come across, right? Okay, so on the first love. So that's first love, and if you are backslidden, how do you get there? How did you get there? How do we get there? How does this first love, especially this first love that we're talking about of the Lord Jesus Christ after he saves us, right? We can see other things and people may be waning, but especially the person I was when he saved me, totally undeserved, vilest, like Paul, the chiefest of sinners. And yet he turned around, and well, not turned around, but he saved me, and he changed me, and he filled me with his love. And that love, and then when I was so first in love with him, it's almost like thinking about it, it's a shameful thing to think about that I would even wane in that love. But we do. Here it is. Look at the church of Ephesus. And I think a lot of times we're not real with ourselves. We're in some type of denial, I think. But also, when, you know, especially if you're like a worker. Look, I heard of other, look, there was one guy I read, started reading some of his book. I stopped reading because it was, he wasn't among the assembly, and that's not why I stopped reading, but he was quoting some other things. But the gist of what he was getting at, this guy is a president of a Christian college, president of a lot of publications. He's well used of the Lord. He's a pastor at a Baptist church. I mean, this guy, if you read his, what he's done, and he wrote a book called Radical Reliance. And he went through a period in his life where he was doing all that, but he felt that he was getting his satisfaction, his sustenance and security somewhere else, actually. Not totally relying on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that he was doing. And what happens, he was doing all these things. And if you look at him, you would like think, man, this guy's got it going on. You know, let's hear his teaching, let's go where he's at, and all that kind of stuff. But yet inside, he realized there was something wrong. And so anyway, I heard different stories of that with different people who have been used by the Lord. And sometimes some could go further, right? And then what happens is when you lose your first love, you could even like really backslide and go back to the world a little bit, right? And even if you're a child of God. And anyway, so, but we tend to, why don't we get real with one another a lot of times? Do you think it's something that doesn't go with love, like pride? We don't want to confess. The Word of God tells us to confess our sins one to another. Now, we have to be careful how we do that, but and in what way and what sin. But one of them, I think, would be good is to let your brothers and sisters know, hey, look, I've forsaken my first love. I came to that realization. And to be real about it. But also to be real about, I sense there's something going on in the local assembly, too, that we might have forsaken our first love. I know I have. So maybe Have we as a whole? Let's look at this. Let's go before the Lord Jesus and pray and ask him to show us where we're at as far as he sees us. Not what somebody else sees us on the outside, but how far he sees us. So some of the characteristics. So I'm gonna, first, how do we get there? I forgot this part. This is a, what are some of the characteristics of love? This, these are the things that I thought of, and I'm sure you could think of some more. Maybe I might hit them all. I don't know. But what are the characteristics of first love? Well, one thing, what did it say? This is how we know what love is, right? To love God and obey his commands. If we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be more obedient. Now, we could be obedient, but are we zealous for that obedience? You know, I mean, do we really want to be so, so obedient? Or do we get a little bit lax? Not so bad, whatever. But anyway, so here's some characteristics that I see. Affection. You're more affectionate toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a closeness and an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. More of a closeness and intimacy. You have a freshness. Now, like I think I said before, like, you know, my life, 35 years, it's been like a roller coaster. I had my lows, my highs, my lows, my highs. Now, in my lows, when I realized that, wait a minute, something's not right with my first love here, and I want to go to the Lord to be readjusted. And when I do get readjusted, oh, that freshness comes back. Oh, it's just, and it's fresh again. And, you know, it does get stale. Not with us. See, here's one thing. What did the Lord say? I will never, what? Leave you or? So who's the one that does the forsaking? It's us. We're the ones that move away from him. He's still here like this. You move that way. So anyway, so that freshness, excitement and joy. Do you remember that first love? Excitement and joy. Energy and zeal. Now, I have a lot of energy, right? And people who know me, I think I'm like, you know. But that's an outward, that's a physical energy. So the energy that I'm talking about is not on the physical plane, right? It's more on the spiritual plane. It's something that would energize my body more. I mean, because we could be very energetic. We can have a lot of zeal, right? But even the word says zeal without knowledge is, what's zeal without knowledge? Right? Not good. So you can be zealous and be in error. But anyway, enthusiasm, a lot of enthusiasm you would have. You would be more enthusiastic about your love and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have more, you could be persevering like they did, but you could even be more persevering. And you'll focus more on what really matters instead of having multiple focuses, right? And then there'll be a simplicity here in the United States. And maybe you guys out here, you guys are more out in the country. I mean, I'm South Jersey, but I'm out kind of like the country, but I'm kind of outside the city. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, right? Maybe over here, you guys could keep it more simple. I don't know. But we tend to live more complex lives, right? But anyway, there's a more of a simplicity, you know, and we'll be more attentive to the Lord Jesus. And we'll be easily led and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We'll be easily convinced and convicted of sin and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And easily brought to repentance and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think that first love, you know what, when I first got saved, I was able to go everywhere and anywhere and tell everybody how, they knew how bad I was. A sinner I was, But I just confirmed it verbally with them. And I had a lot of friends. I sold drugs. I did a lot of drugs. I was a bass player in a rock band. So I had a lot of people like attracted to me for not so much me, because later on they left me. So it wasn't me, but it was maybe what I had that they thought was something. But when I had Jesus, they were all like, phew. But anyway, but we would be easily brought to repentance. Before you're brought to repentance, you have to confess. You have to realize where you are. And then once you realize where you are, and God has softened your heart, it's easier to repent. But when you have your first love, you'll tell everybody what Jesus did for you, but what you were doing, and how wicked and evil and those things are. And now you're telling them how holy and beautiful Jesus is and how he changed you and gave you a brand new heart. And you love him. But you know what? He loves you too, and he died for you. And he's changed me, as you see. I mean, when I first got saved, it was night and day. I mean, there was no questions asked. I went to some people later, and they were like, who are you? Seriously, not like, who are you? Because now I mean, some people thought I was whacked out, too. The rumors were he did too many drugs, he did this, whatever. But there were some people like they didn't recognize me. Like, my face, my countenance was different. It was something about me. It was like, I know you. Yeah, I'm George. You know, years ago we played in a band and this, that, and we did this. I said, what happened to you? I told them what happened to me. Oh, okay. I didn't see him again. But anyway, so those are some of the characteristics. You may have some characteristics that I didn't put here that I didn't think of. Okay, but these are just things that I jotted down. But try to, because what did the Lord say? Remember the height that you have fallen. Right? And we'll get to that a little bit more, but we got to remember, what was that first love back? And then we'll realize we did move from it. Now, some of us might have only moved a little bit slightly. Some further. But the ones who didn't move from there, help the ones who did move from there. Pray for them continually. And I'm sure if you still have that first love cultivated, I'm sure that you do. But this is what we got to do. So anyway, now we move into this section here. Also at the same time, before I move into that section, I was just going to talk about the last days, right? Jesus even said, so here's what we're up against, though, okay? So we have stuff out there, and we have Satan, who wants us to lose that first love. See, he can't take us to hell with him. He can't do that, but he can affect us in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. He wants to affect that love. Because once he affects that love, we can lose effectiveness. Okay? And also, he just doesn't want people to love the Lord. He don't. So, but Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The reason why I wanted to bring these out, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. This is what we're up against. This is what's around us. This is what's in the world. This is the last days was going to be like this. So we have to guard our first love. But this is just in case you don't know. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 5. Now, my notes are small here, but I think it's in 2 Timothy. And where the love is, right? Listen to here. People will be lovers. You love something. You love someone. Now, if you don't love, just say if there's somebody like, you know, I've met people in the world, I don't love anybody. I just don't. Guarantee you, they love themselves. They got to love somebody. And they don't love nobody. It's probably because they love themselves too much. But anyway, so see, there's that competing love, right? So we're surrounded in these last days that the Lord is talking about. Okay, so they'll be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. And they'll be without love. Not lovers of the good. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then they can have a form of godliness. But denying the power. The power is not there. We just have a form. So that's what we're up against, right? That's all around us. And we got Satan. He's not competing for that love. He wants you to take you away from that love. And that's all he wants. He really don't care if you love him. If you do love Satan, which some people say they do, it's nothing for him. It's what he got out of that. The principle of it was you not loving God, right? So anyway, so we have that. So when we're going upstream like a salmon and we're beating up against the rocks, those hardships and all that kind of stuff, and like one brother just reminded me, I think it was you, right? Or you, who was it about the bear? The bear, there you go, Rich, okay. He goes, and sometimes there's bears over there, right? So we got a lot of things that are acting against us. Okay, so now what? What are some of the what are those things that actually have your first love wane or decrease? So these are just thoughts of mine. You may have a lot, but here you go. Well, before I do my list, but I just want to share a little bit. Let's see. Let's go here. Distractions. Do we get distracted? Now, do we get distracted with things that really are non-essential for life? Like, now there's some things that we're trying to get food, we're trying to get clothes, we're trying to get a shelter, we're trying to take care of our kids, right? Kids could even be a distraction, but they're good distractions, but they can be. But I'm talking about the non-essential distractions, like better food, more food, right? Better clothing, finer clothing, name brand clothing, better house, finer house, better furniture.
Physician.
Huh?
Physician.
Physician? Position. Oh, better position, right. So we could be distracted by those type of things that kind of like pull us away from non-essentials. But here's just a little bit that, now these are my own things. TV, as far as under distractions. TV, radio, internet, social media, books.
Smartphones.
Yeah, that's a... Smartphones, and finances, product researches, along with smartphones, because you could do internet and all that. You could do all kinds of stuff on there, right? Oh, matter of fact, you could be, when you go to, observe it all, right? Go to a local restaurant anymore, a diner. What do you see people in? I thought you see people, especially the young. They get together to hang out together, and there's four of them, and they're all on their smartphones. Now, when they're with somebody else, they're talking to that person. But when they're in front of each other, and they're all on their smartphone, talking to everybody else in the world but them, right? So anyway, that's a distraction, right? Even talking on a phone. Depends on what you're talking about. So I'm not saying the things that I'm mentioning, though, they're not... evil or wrong per se. But I'm saying that These can be a distraction, and you have to figure out what is truly a distraction for you. Talk, even vain conversation, right? Just talking about all kinds of other stuff. And then you walk away. Hey, did you share the Lord with that person? You just talked to them for an hour about something. An unbeliever. Talked about the weather. Talked about sports. You talk about this. You talk about that. But did you share the Lord with them? The love of God that is in you, that needs to be in them, or they're going to hell. Did you share the love of God with them? So that's just an example right there, too. Even us Christians, even I got to, you know, guard myself continually. I could talk more about what I do sometimes because somebody asks me and I can go on a tangent about, hey, I do this at work. Oh, yeah, and what else? And I go to, oh, man, and I could tell you everything I do. And then, but I'm not saying we can't do that at all. But the thing is if that's all we did and that's all I left with you, and just say if I only had an hour with you and we talked about, even as Christians, we talked about everything else except for the love of the Lord. What have we gained, right? So now I'm not saying that we can't talk about other things. I'm not just saying that, but I'm just saying we need to figure out what is a distraction that's keeping us from him? Because you know what? I tell you what. This list that I'm going to say here, okay, and just in the list of distractions, a lot of you hit a little bit of every category. Maybe some of you, maybe not so many categories, but you do more of that particular category. But either or, if they're vain, non-essential distractions, where is it keeping you from? Who is it keeping you from? That's what we got. What's the principle behind it? What is it keeping us from? So distractions. Okay. What did the Lord say? Just touching on distraction. What did the Lord say a little bit about? Okay. Well, one of the things that came to mind to me was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. There you go. Are we involved in a lot of civilian? Look, there's a lot of political stuff going on now. Are we so into politics now and finding out what's going on with the Democrats and the Republicans and Trump and anti-Trumpers or never-Trumpers or this Trumper or that Trumper or even Trump himself? Or how about Nancy Pelosi? Matter of fact, we were witnessing to somebody, and even in Bertuzzi's before we left, and gave her a card earlier, but she came up and started talking with us, and she brought up about, oh, yeah, and what about the things that are going on in the world? Oh, it's awful. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Nancy Pelosi, she prays for Trump. She prays for him all the time. She don't hate Trump. And then later on, you could tell that she's probably a Democrat, whatever. But you know what I said to her? Well, I always try to bring it. I don't always, but that's what I always try to bring it over to the spiritual realm. And I said, well, you know, I didn't want to answer. I didn't want to get into who's better. I didn't want her to know whether I'm Democrat, Republican, which I'm neither, by the way. But this is what I said to her. I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not even an independent. I'm a dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's coming soon. And you know what? Nobody's going to elect him democratically. He's going to take it by force. That's according to the scriptures. And I'm looking for that day, that ruler. Well, I know, but this is her. Well, I know, but we got to, you know, try to take care of fixed things that are... I said, according to the Bible, it's not going to be fixed. It's not. The last days, it says it's terrible times. If anything, you haven't seen anything yet. So anyway, and then she would direct it back over. I would keep sliding this way. Joe was right there too in that, you know. But anyway, those are some of the distractions. Now, as a confession to you, that was part of mine. Though I'm not a Republican or Democrat, but I was reading everything about the last couple of years about what was going on with Trump and the Democrats and all that. Though I don't go by party things, and I don't like it being spoken at the pulpits, with some people even mention it, and they talk about, you know, you go to some assemblies, you know they're all Republicans. You know they're all conservatives. But you know what? Maybe you don't really know. Maybe there is a Democrat or somebody who, you know, is not a Republican. Dare they tell you? Probably not. Just like if you were in a company of anti-Trumpers and stuff like that. Hey, wear that red hat. You'll see what I'm talking about. Now, I don't tell you to wear a red hat. We shouldn't be wearing that red hat anyway. Make America great again? America really, really is not. I mean, it's a good country. Hey, look, we got the Bible. We got all this stuff. But look at our condition anyway. We got everything. We got everything that a Christian can have to walk better, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. But what is our condition? But is America great? No, America, all the people in America need salvation. Matter of fact, it's getting worse in America. Look at the news. But anyway, for a while, my confession is part of my distraction was reading the news. This smartphone, I was reading. It got to the point I was reading while I was on the toilet. I'm sure some of you have done that too, right? Yeah, see the chuckle and stuff like that. Yeah, now maybe some of you don't have a smartphone. Maybe some of the older one. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Let me tell you, you know what encouraged me the other day? I was sharing this with another brother in the Lord, what I'm going through and my struggle with the news and stuff like that. You know what he told me? A younger brother in the Lord. He's only been in the Lord, Dave, he's been in the Lord maybe three years. He said, brother, I got a smartphone and I use it for certain things, but you know what? I disconnected from the news. I don't even look at the news. I says, yeah, how long have you been doing that? He goes, 2 years. So it's possible? Is it? Can it really be that someone could have the self-control? I think it has to do with something about first love. You think? So can I have that self-control where I don't? Now, lately, I've been getting better and better and better. As a matter of fact, you know, there's been a lot of days where I didn't even look at it. But I'm getting to that point where, now, let me qualify that a little bit, too. See, I used to watch I don't have a TV. Well, I have a screen at home, but we view DVDs, but we don't want cable TV and we don't want all the other distractions. I mean, you may have that distraction. You know, the movies and all that, they make it so you could sit there like this. And be amused, right? And you know what amuse means? Not to think. Look up that word. What amuse means. Means not to think. And what do they call those parks? Amusement parks? Why are you watching TV? Well, they call it entertainment too, but you're being amused. You're not thinking. Matter of fact, people have shared with me, I got to have the radio. These are unbelievers. I got to have the radio on. I got to have something on to make noise. I said, why is that? So I don't have to think about anything. They don't want to think about their life. They don't want to think about their condition. So what happens? Satan helps them to keep all these things here. But also, see, now Satan don't help us. He's against us. And he bombards us with all these different things. Because you know, I tell you what, one thing about smartphones and Google, it's so smart. Google is so smart. They start feeding you everything you like to read. So now when you're only reading 10 minutes a day of something, you're reading hours. Because article after article, because it learns what you're reading. Did you realize that? And all of a sudden, hey, you want to read this? Okay. Here you go. Overload. And guess what's happening? Who do you think is really behind it? Is it Google? I don't think it's Google. I think it's Satan. He wants to wear us down and distract us from our love. So, anyway, that's on the distraction. The other thing is, a good soldier doesn't get involved in civilian matters, right? In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since you are surrounded by such cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Now, has anybody ran a race? Okay, so has anybody ever ran a race with their foot entangled? You know the ones that get in those sacks and they do this? They can't run. Their running is impeded, isn't it? You ever see somebody trying to run in them? You try to run in them, give it, what happens to them? Boom! Flat on their face. But here, so there's things that entangle us. We can't run the race well. So, matter of fact, there's scripture that says, don't give Satan a foothold, right, in your anger. Don't let the sun go down on you, and don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a foothold. Why don't give him a foothold? Because you can't run that race properly. And this is how he attacks us and distracts us by doing that. Okay. Here's something really interesting, too. Just like, you know, the Ephesian church, they're having these all these good deeds and all that. We look at them, it's like, oh, you know, they got it right on, right? Look what the Lord said. Remember Mary and Martha? I love that story. I remind my wife about that sometimes, about Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Wow. But Martha, now I don't know how the King James puts it, but the NIV uses, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now it says that had to be made. So now when we look at that, wow, look at Martha, man. She's going, right? We see sisters over there like that, you know, working and all this kind of stuff. And then you might be one of those sisters. And you see a sister over there not working like you, and she's like listening maybe to a speaker or somebody who is there and talking about the word. And you might, I'm doing all this work over here. Well, here's what happened to Martha. Now, I'm not saying any of you sisters do that, okay? But we could. Maybe you have. I don't know. But here's the thing. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him. So she came even to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me. You can do it. She won't listen to you. Tell her to help me. She got it. Right? But what did Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. So she's worried. What's the Lord tells about worrying? Give all your worries and cares to him. He wants to take them from you. Right? And so, and she's upset about all these many things. And he goes, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and I will not take that from her. So, yeah, there's things that got to be done. But one thing is needful. I mean, maybe we can just keep it simple. Do we have to have a big smorgasbord, and then we got a lot of... No. Piece of bread and water, maybe? Oh, okay. If you're hungry, and that'll hold you over sometimes, right? Sometimes you eat a piece of bread and you're hungry and you're waiting for a meal, whatever, you know what I mean? But sometimes there's people out there that's all they have. But we could keep it simple. Keep the meal simple. Keep those kind of things simple. But if you got to make things all grandiose and all that, and probably, what do you think was going on through Martha's mind? The Lord Jesus is coming here to my home. You can imagine. Right? You can imagine that. Man, she wanted to lay this out and like, oh yeah, welcome Lord, look at this. You know, she wanted to please the Lord, but there was something more needful than that, and it became a distraction to her. Now see, here's something that in itself, it's not evil. You wouldn't say, Martha's backslidden. Look at that, she's gone into the world. You know, look at her. She's just No, you wouldn't say that. You would say, oh, look at Martha. And maybe some people even look at Mary and say, Mary, there'll be enough more time for Jesus later. Get in the kitchen. Go help her, will you? But that's not with the Lord. Here's the thing, too. One thing maybe Martha didn't consider. Jesus is coming over to her house. Fed 5,000 men. Out of a couple fish. Well, some fish and some bread in a basket. Fed every one of them. And it was women and children. And another 4,000 somewhere else. And women and children. At least that many. 4 and 5,000. So he fed at least 9,000 plus. Could have been 10, 15, 16,000. In just a couple sittings. And it was even stuff left over. And you're worried about prepping here? I mean, look. If we were all around his feet. One thing, you know, sometimes I get going, I don't even think about hungry. But I'm not saying that that's how we always got to be, you know, that we don't worry about food and all that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, look what the Lord said to Martha. Okay. I think that's enough for, distracting stuff. There's a lot more, but here you go. On the topic, things or people that can cause us to forsake or leave our first love. We start praying less. We're so busy and distracted, it takes away from something. All right, so say if you're a salaried person and you work a lot of hours, even an hourly person work around, but just say you work 50, 60, maybe even 70 hours a week. That's your job, right? You got to provide for your family. And then the man comes home and he's got 4 kids, 5 kids, whatever. How much time does he have? He's got to fix the house, he got this, he got that, whatever. Maybe he don't make the money to where call the plumber, call this, call that, whatever. So, but for the actual free time that you have, when I say free time, I'm talking about when all the necessary things are done, whether it's an hour, whether it's 5 hours, or whether you have 10 hours, look at what you do with those hours. And you now somebody who only has an hour, maybe they can only spend 15 minutes in the Word that day. I'm just saying, this is a hypothetical. But it's quality time, and that's all they got, but the Lord knows. But then there's somebody that's got 5 hours. And they spend a whole hour in the Word and maybe in prayer. But for 4 hours, they wasted their time on non-essentials. Didn't cultivate their love for the Lord. Didn't read on how to be better to save the lost or to be used in the local assembly, in the building, being set there aside for yourself to help in the building of the local church, for the Lord to use you. Now, that one who spent that hour, who has all those other hours that wasted away, may look down at the other person who says, I spent 15 minutes, maybe 10. But they don't know the person's life. But you see, this is just an analogy. It's not real time that I talk to people about. Okay, so it's all relative, right? But anyway, we pray less and have less intimate time with God. Another one, we read the Word less and less intimate time with God. The busyness of life due to mostly non-essentials. Now, see, I'm qualifying that. There is the busyness of life. The Lord knows that. There's also the non-essentials that shouldn't be keeping you busy. Example, I've heard some Christian families where, I don't have time to go to Boston. I don't have time to do this. Susie got to go to a soccer game, and Joey, he's got to go to this game over here, and they're going to get it. And what happens? They're running around all over the place, taking them there. And lesson for a clarinet over here, and lesson with him, lesson with him. But okay, I'm not saying none of it is bad. I'm not saying that they're evil in itself. Some things I might not want my child to be doing, and maybe I might not be going around. But I'm saying if you're doing it, I'm not saying that this is a wicked and evil thing. What I'm saying is that If all those activities that are pretty much non-essential to even develop your child in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but even your now you're suffering too, is it a distraction? Weighed down and just have a load from life, just a lot of things, you know, and mainly a lot of non-essential activities, right? Just like the ones I was saying, but it could be a workload just around your house or, you know, a project that you're doing, and you load yourself down. Sin, that'll help you lose your first love quickly. But cultivating your first love will also keep you from sin. But what happens when you start getting lax, it could probably probably prayer is where it gets hit first. Because look at the prayer meetings. When you talk about the local assemblies, there's more people that come on the Lord's Day. And then that prayer meeting, now we have prayer meeting and Bible study, and there's less people there. And then there's some that divide it. There's a prayer meeting, and then there's a Bible study. And it gets less and less. But from what I hear from the speakers saying and a lot of the assemblies is the prayer meeting is the least attended. Just a thought. But anyway, so sin has that kind of thing. So we got to get it quick, confess it quick, and repent of it. Amusements and entertainment, I already went over that. Focus on what really matters. So that's what happens. We don't focus on what really matters. And we got to find out what really matters, right? And then, like in Colossians 3:1, set your minds and your hearts on things above, right? On heavenly things. So it's a heart thing. It's a mind thing. So where do we set it? And then simplicity. We start losing the simplicity. We get more complex. Kind of covered that already. Attentive. We get less attentive. And we get less sensitive to the Spirit. And the things may be now cloudy. So now you go, like, Lord, what should I do in this matter? But you've forsaken your first love. So your first love is like, oh, Lord, I love you. Whatever you want, whatever. But things start getting cloudy. You're wondering, I can't make a decision. I don't know what's going on. Maybe the first thing that you have to settle first is your heart condition. And then here's what kind of encompasses all these things. What causes you to forsake your first love is another love, a competing love. And some of those competing loves, it could be family, right? Didn't Jesus say, if you love your mother or your father more than me? See, he wants the preeminence, right? So even that kind of relationship could get in the way, right? We are to love our father and mother, but not more than him. It could be your wife. It could be your children. If you're not married, it could be a girlfriend or something, or it could be a thing that competes. So I'm just going to give some scriptures here. I'm not going to read them all because I'm running out of time, because I want to get to this other section. But things that are competing. First Timothy 6:6. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and into foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. There's the love of money it talks about, also in 1 Timothy. There was a thing, now this was directed to the Pharisees, right? They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces. And then another place it says, they love the praise of men. See, it's a competitive love. What do you love more? Would you rather be praised of men or honored by God. So, you know, where do we want to be? Then later on, even in Ephesians, it says, when he closed that letter, he goes, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So anyway, there's a lot of, I don't really have time to go over all the ones about all these competing loves, but you could go through the, you could find out what's a competing love, okay? But I want to bring it now down to a practical level. What do we do? How do we combat this? What can we do? Individually and as an assembly, a local assembly. And so I'm not going to be able to read a lot of the scriptures because I don't have the time, but I'm going to just touch on some points. So going back to Revelation, so the Lord gave us an antidote in Revelation 2:5. Remember, so these are three commands he gave. Remember, repent, and do. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent, so turn away from that. Change of mind. And do the things you did at first. So there's the first again. See, do the things you did at first. Well, they already did a lot of things. What else can they do? But it's how you did them at first. When you did them with a first love, like we were saying, you're more affectionate, you're more zealous. Maybe you'll reach more people and want to, by the love of the Lord, really want to talk to that person a little bit more or reach out to more people that are lost. So that first love, in order to do what the Lord has commanded us to do, will be helpful. So anyway, those are the three commands he gave us. Remember, repent, and do the things you did at first. Okay, now, Peter, just don't turn there, but just later on, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. And even later on, he continues, says, remember, I wrote this so you could remember. And after I'm gone, you know, you're going to remember all this, right? So he says about that. And one of the things that he was saying about remembering, right, he says that add to goodness, add to knowledge this, add to goodness this. And it kept building up. And the last thing he says, and add to that, love. And love encompasses all those things, right? And he says that if it's not in an increasing measure, you're ineffective. So what can we do? And I'm going to close with this. What can we do? Study the Word and what the Word says about love, and to know what this love is. You know, one of them, right, and to love in truth, hey, 1 Corinthians 13 tells you about what love is. But you see, the first love in that, those things that are listed there, love is patient, love is kind, it's not self-seeking, right? All those things. But the thing is that first love has all that, but it's like out there, right? So so together we could study about love. Together and individually we could pray to know this love and for this love. We could pray for it individually and together. Another thing we can do, we could put it into practice, even by little things. Just put it into practice. What you know and what you have learned, but always in truth. Don't be fake about it. The Lord knows. Be examples of this love, like ambassadors. Now, one, teach this love to one another so we could teach each other, you know, husband and wives, brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, to our children, among the assembly, to other assemblies. Another one is proclaim this love. Proclaim it. This first love that you have, proclaim it. Not only to the lost, but even among us, brothers and sisters. And like it says in Hebrews 10, it says, and to spur. One of the ways we, amongst ourselves, is to spur one another unto love and and good deeds, or love and good works, depending on what version you have. But it says, consider it. So it takes thought. Really think about it. Consider how we can do that to spur one another onto love and good deeds. Now, right after that, you know, it says, you know, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Well, of course, you know, a lot of times you hear only that. I'm not saying that they purposely forget that, but you hear that more for people instead of, wait a minute, maybe they're forsaking the assembly of the saints because maybe we're not spurring them on. Could be us. It could be. I mean, you're individually, we all go before the judgment seat of Christ, right? But wait a minute. You know, aren't we supposed to run the race together? So just a thought. And then the seventh thing, I think, guard this precious love. And that's what happens to me. I'm not always on guard. See, when I'm not on guard, Satan is always active. Google is always active too. Always, you know, the world, they want to entice you. Oh, look at this, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at this. And we're looking, but if we're looking where we're not supposed to be looking, it's always taking away from. So, I'm going to close now. But the thing is that this prayer right here, and this was to the Ephesian church. And so what did he say? Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So this is not something by hearing a sermon or reading a book. It surpasses that. And the only way we can get that, as far as I can figure, is spending intimate time with the Lord in prayer and in his word. But also in our doing, in our proclaiming, I think there's something that happens to us when we're doing that, and it'll keep us there in our first life. And these lists that I went on, and how do we get back to our first love? It also could be used to how to cultivate that first love. In other words, keep it there so it doesn't fall, so it doesn't wane. And so he goes, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see, I think when we lack love, when we lack that first love, we're missing the fullness. You might have 3/4 of a pie, not the whole pie. God wants us to have the whole pie. He wants us to have the fullness of himself. Now to, here's something right here, look at this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. What a great promise. But you know what? Are we asking? First of all, do we see it? So we could remember where we were. Right? Are we willing to repent and get out of it? And are we willing to do? I believe we all are. But a lot of times, like with me, I get so busy, I forget where I'm really supposed to be at. Right? Because in the busyness of things. But now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, not our own power, his power, that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, Father, we do. We come before you, Father. We remember what it was like when you first loved us, and then we fell so in love with you, that first love. Father, we want that. We want that back. Straighten our hearts out. Show us where we're at. Father, in your word, it tells us that, you know, anything that entangles us, Father, teach us how to get away from those things. Get untangled. Get out of that captivity. Father, that in these last days, you're coming soon. There's so many lost people out there. A lot of our assemblies are dwindling. Our older brothers and sisters are going home to be with you. And if you tarry, we're left here. And we don't want to dwindle, Father. Like in Revelation, you said if we don't repent, you will remove your lampstand. And that lampstand, you walked among that lampstand. Father, we want to burn bright for you. We want to shine your light, your love, with realness. We want to speak the truth, but in love, but with that first love. So, Father, show us where we're at individually. Show us where we're at as an assembly. Show us that where we're at as the body of Christ, especially in these last days, Father. May we be effective as we look to your return, as we look to the judgment seat of Christ. And we know what you just said to us here. You could do more than all we ask. Or even imagine, according to your power. So, Father, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.